The Top 100 Clubhouse podcast is brought to you by Eden Mill, bringing the tradition of distilling whiskey and gin back to St Andrews, the home of golf. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Top 100 Clubhouse, the ultimate podcast for golf course enthusiasts worldwide. I'm your host, James Henderson, and we're about to embark on a journey through lush fairways and breathtaking landscapes, as well as delving deep into the minds of fascinating individuals from every corner of the golfing universe. Get ready to explore the world's top golf courses through the eyes of those who know them best. This week in the pod, we have Alessandra Coutts. Alessandra is one of the few female club fitters within the UK. We also talk about our exciting new project, which is The 100 Club. It's a book that is meant to help you try and complete 100 golf courses. So, hello, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. So tell us a bit about your history. How did the golf bug bite to you?
So I'm an interesting one. So I actually started golfing when I was six, and I really randomly started to play golf. Both my parents didn't play. And a lot of people think that, you know, when you start playing golf as a kid, it's because someone in your family plays. And that really wasn't the case for me. I used to dance when I was a little one, and my mom was a dancer. And then I randomly told her I wanted to play golf. And that really shocked my mom and dad. So they took me to like a local driving range that I had near the house and had one lesson. And the guy was like, she has quite a natural swing. And pretty much the rest was history from there. So grew up in Orlando in Florida and played college golf, junior golf, pretty much anywhere I could get my hands on a golf course, I would. So that was the best thing for me, I think. So played all that, went and played college golf in America at Stetson in near Daytona Beach. Graduated in 2017 from there. And then in 2018, decided to quit golf and didn't love it anymore. And I thought, if I didn't love it, why play it? And I never played golf again until this past January, which was quite interesting for me. And then the golfing bug hit, and it is still there.
You tend to find people who do well in golf, who like yourself, who've played at a higher standard at college. You tend to find it's all in or nothing.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the times, I think you and I spoke a bit about it earlier, is I think in college golf, you know, it becomes your life. It's your job 40 hours a week. It's really interesting to me. The NCAA counts a round of golf as 3 hours, and no one plays a round of golf in 3 hours. So you would end up being out there 4 or 5 hours, and it would be your whole day. So I just ended up falling out of love with it. You know, you could be really ill or just going through something and you had to be at the golf course. And I didn't like that aspect of it. I like to play for myself rather than someone else.
Yeah, you lose the fun of it when it becomes a mission rather than anything else. So you quit golf. And then what were you doing in that meantime?
You know what? I was doing a little bit of everything. I ended up really loving photography, and I've always loved photography. Even when I was a bit younger, I used to always bring a camera to the golf course. So there's a lot of pictures of me on Facebook with my friends just absolutely messing around at practice. So I ended up starting my own photography business, doing a bunch of family photography, like portraits and stuff like that. And then I ended up getting a job at Disney World. So I worked at Disney World as a photographer. So I worked in their sports complex as a sports photographer. So I did all the run Disney events and, you know, football and baseball and all that stuff. And then I also worked at Magic Kingdom, which is just as fun as everyone else says it is. So I worked there for a bit. You have to have heard of Disney World.
Oh, I know.
Where the castle is.
Oh, is that the Magic Kingdom? Okay.
Yeah. So you have all four parks at Disney. So I worked in the one with the castle. So I used to see the castle every day, pretty much.
It's a world that I never went to, I have to admit.
Really?
Never been to Disney World, even the one in Paris. Never, my parents were definitely not those kind of people. I know, I've missed, my childhood's gone.
You know what, you can still go now. There are plenty of adults living their childhood dream, like me, when I go back and visit. They have golf courses there.
Any good?
There's actually not bad. They have a massive bunker in the shape of Mickey Mouse. my partner at the time was from here, so I ended up moving over here and then ended up getting a job working
just
as
so
a club
people
fitter.
Know, whereabouts are you?
I'm in Kent right now, so I'm near just a little, I'm about an hour from Royal St. George's and the Deal golf courses.
Yeah, yeah. Beautiful part of the world. Great golf.
It is.
When did you start working golf again?
I started working in golf again in October of last year. So okay. That was, you know what, I was looking for a job and I didn't really know what I wanted to do because there is no Disney World over here. So I was like, what do I want to do? What do I want to do? And I had this little inkling to get back to golf because it's pretty much been my home for my whole life. And I missed it a bit, but I still didn't want to play. And then I ended up getting a job as a custom club fitter for one of the hardware companies. So I took that job and didn't really think I'd play again. You know, I got my set of clubs and in between appointments on the range, I was like, well, I guess I'll hit a few. And I ended up being at one of my accounts and the head pro was helping me like unload all my stuff from my van and was like, oh, do you play? And I was like, I play here and there, like very infrequently. And he was like, well, what's your handicap? And I was like, oh, well, I'm a scratch golfer. And he was just like, well, you need to come to a county practice then. And I was like, oh, I guess so. So I ended up going to a county practice with the Kent women's team. And yep, I don't know what happened, but I got the golfing bug. And I was like, let me play for fun. You know, it's county golf. County golf is really fun to play in. And so I ended up keep going to practices and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden I want to play competitively again and just put in 110% effort in it. So here I am now.
Did you find it
until the day is done?
Oh, is it, are you all in? You're all in.
Yeah. You know, it's a bit different having a job and doing it. Cause as a kid, you know, I just would go from school to golf and then home and, you know, homework and then go back to school and do the same thing. So it's interesting having money from golf coming in from, or money from a job coming in rather than golf. But it's one of those things that I am fully into it and I want to play in as much as I can. So I'm working on getting the handicap into the pluses, which is a difficult task.
It's, yeah, it's a very thing you need to dedicate your life to, really.
Yeah, you know, it's been one of those things that I found it. Being from Florida, we don't really get seasons. You know, I always joke and say the leaves go from the tree to dead. We don't get colors changing. We don't really get that much of a difference between summer and summer and winter daytime. Mm-hmm. So coming here where it's dark at, you know, 4:30, I'm like, I want to practice. So during the summer, it's great because I could go tee off at 5-6 o'clock and, you know, be done by 9 and still be daylight. So now I'm really struggling on practicing, and let's be honest, the weather is not making me run out to the golf course being from Florida.
No. Even summer it's bleak for someone from Florida. Going back to the club fitting, club fitting is, from my point of view, maybe I'm wrong, a very male dominated section of the game. Would I be right in saying that?
Yeah, I think it's male dominated from both the actual person who is club fitting and the person who's getting club fitted is also very male dominant. I'm pretty sure if you were to ask how many female club fitters there are in the country, I want to say there's maybe 2 or 3. Wow. I know one is local, one is in Surrey, and I think one is up in the north, but there's only a few females that do it. And so it is very male dominated. And I think it's slightly male dominated only because golf is male dominated. A lot of the people I fit are male. And I think it was hard at first being a female doing it because they would look at me going, does she know what she's doing? And, you know, I would always have to slightly drop in that I am a scratch golfer. And they go, oh, okay, she does know what she's talking about, which is always a bit interesting.
Yeah, I can imagine there's a lot of prejudice there. Do you have to be quite fierce sometimes with the people who, because people are very proud of their golf, right? It's personal.
Yes.
So it feels like a personal attack when you tell them this is all wrong.
You have to approach it interestingly. You can't approach it going, what in the world are you telling me? You have to almost let them get there. And then there's always the people that can't part ways with clubs that like family members have given them. And I'm like, but they just bought it for you. Like, it's just a golf club. So I've had those people that can't part ways with certain clubs because, yeah, a family member gifted it to them.
But that brings us to the point that a lot of the game, as you know, is target golf. It's playing a number. As you said, you enjoy these trackmans and things like this that give you your numbers and you use them for your fittings. A lot of pros are just using those numbers now. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of times, like even when I do lessons, you know, I think I've maybe only had one lesson in the past year where we've opened up the garage and hit out, but I haven't had a lesson yet without a trackman. And, you know, we'll look at the numbers and I'm more than happy hitting in a trackman room without even seeing where the ball's going and just looking at the numbers. But I think what makes it so unique is now we have that technology. You know, I think it's really interesting how I can hit a shot, look at the numbers and tell you exactly how the shot went. So I think it's really interesting, but I find it really interesting how all the pros basically have one with them on the range.
Yeah, that's definitely, technology is advanced at such a rate that.
Yeah, we've become very mathematical in golf. I remember my lessons growing up, I never had a trackman. It was all video, looking at the video, analyzing the video. But, you know, I remember I would always get told you're coming from the inside. But now it's you're coming from the inside by 2 degrees. We need to get you down to, you know, zero. So it's really like swing direction and stuff. You wouldn't really look at numbers, but now it's all numerical. It's all data.
Does that bring the it's taking away the romance of the game, though? Why not try Eden Mills The Guard Bridge blended malt whiskey or golf gin? Visit our sponsor's site, www.edenmill.com, for more information. Eden Mills St. Andrews, bringing the art of distilling back to St. Andrews.
Yeah, I think it takes away a lot of like the feel golfer, if that makes sense, like the creativity of it.
The Seve Ballesteros of the world are no longer.
Yeah. And I mean, we all know that Tiger probably uses a trackman, but he might be one of the most creative golfers. And I feel like when you use trackmans and numbers, you lose that sense of feel and creativity because you're just, you know, you're feeling what a 2 degrees out to in swing is. But if you're sitting there, you're not, you know, you have to hook it around a tree going, oh, I need to get my swing path, you know, 10 degrees inside with a shot club face to get there.
Well, that's the thing. You can either try and become, there's a lot of skill in playing that shot, right? There's a lot of skill in taking that wrap around the tree, and majority of people don't have it. But I know some 9-10 handicappers who have it because they've never looked at a trackman. They've never done any of that.
We grew up with that one. I remember we had a trackman at my academy and we weren't allowed in it. Only for club fittings were we allowed in the trackman. And we all used to just walk past it every day going, oh, we really want to be in there and like look at our numbers. But no, we never had one. I'm the type of person that if I'm on a top tracer range, I'll kind of use it. More if I'm working on my swing, I'll use it. But if I'm just, you know, hitting golf balls, I won't really use it because it's all feel. You know, there's no trackman with you on the golf course.
So you're currently doing your top 100 in England.
Yes.
How's that going?
It's going good, actually. You know what? I don't really know how I got started with it. My first top 100 in England, I played Littlestone, and I played in like a county match that we played with our under 18 and under 16 boys. And it was really my first time playing links in England because I've only ever played a little bit of links in Scotland. And I was just like, you know, tell me a bit about the course because it was built in the 1800s. It was, you know, founded. And they were like, oh, you know, we're a top 100 in England. And I went, oh, all right. And, you know, curiosity got the best of me. And I went online and was like, well, what number is this? Because, you know, my only recollection of links courses are Nairn, Dornoch, and St. Andrews, which are some of the best in the world.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, where is Littlestone on the list? And then I started kind of scrolling through the list of the top 100 in England. And I realized that I have a lot of them that I go and see for work. And I thought, well, what should I do? And I'm like, you know what? I'm playing a bit of golf. I'm enjoying it more as a hobby than a lifestyle that I did have. And I thought, you know what? Let me just try and play a few of these, see if I really like them. And then the idea just kind of hit after I played my next one. I think it was Worplston was my next one. And I went, let's try to play all top 100. Because I love a bit of a challenge and I like having something to look forward to. And I think what I found really interesting about England that I didn't find about, you know, Florida is that courses in Florida all seem to be somewhat similar. Mm-hmm. You tend to have, you know, a water hazard, toss in a few alligators to make it a bit interesting, dogleg right, dogleg left. You know, if it's not on the ocean, you know, it's tree lined. And if it is on the ocean, there's palm trees. Mm-hmm. They're all pretty similar. But, you know, here in the UK, you get so many different types of courses. And that's what really interested me. You know, I never heard of a Heathland golf course until I moved over here, and I didn't know what Heather was. You know, the picture you guys have on your website of Sunningdale.
Yeah.
I thought that was lavender.
Did you?
Yeah, I thought, wow, the golf course must smell really pretty during the summer. And I didn't know what Heather was because we don't have it in Florida. And I think a lot of people think that, you know, we play courses all over the country, but I've probably only played golf in about 4 or 5 different states. Mm-hmm. I've really spent most of my time in Florida because when you're from Florida, it's really the golf capital of the country besides California. So, and I thought, you know, when I played Worplston and it was a Heathland golf course, I thought, well, what other types of golf courses there are? Because I realized then that I grew up on Parkland.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I prefer a Parkland. And I had this huge vendetta against Lynx because I just didn't know how to play Lynx golf. I never hit a green. I was either short or long. I just didn't know what to do. So I had this very big vendetta against Lynx golf and just didn't really understand it because I'm always the postcard person. Like I want what's the hole that looks like it's going to be on a postcard. And sometimes with Lynx golf, you don't get that because there's no, you know, beautiful hole. It's made out of the links of like the dunes and stuff like that. Yeah. Now I have a big appreciation for it. I do really like it. So, you
know, then, being tested in golf.
Oh, Lynx tests you. And I think that's why I didn't really like it because it was really difficult and I just didn't know what to do. I used to use loft everywhere until I realized loft is not your friend on Lynx golf. And I learned how to hit a little 6-iron shot from my county coach. And it is my new favorite shot on Lynx.
Yep. I use a 5-iron. Love it.
Yeah. He was like 5, 6, 7, pick a club that just feels right. And, you know, it was like a 6-iron felt a bit right in my hands. And I went, let's do the 6. So.
Have you got your list written down? Are you slowly ticking it off or?
I am slowly ticking it off. So I turned 28 in April and decided that's when I wanted to do the top 100. And I gave myself, I'm the friend who has the crazy ideas that just says, let's do it and let's be done with it. So I said I wanted to do it in 2 years.
Okay.
It didn't occur to me that meant one course a week. So I'm slowly ticking them. But you know what? There's some days that I play a few. I think next week I have 4 that I'm playing.
Which ones are you going to?
I have Camberley Heath.
Mm-hmm.
I have Blackmore.
Yep.
That I have to call tomorrow for a tee time because they only allow you to pick 5 days in advance for a tee time. So I have to call them tomorrow. I'm playing. And then I'm going to Trevoz next weekend and St. Enadoc, which I am so excited for because for some reason, I don't know why, but I am just so desperate to play St. Enadoc.
Both
it looks
of them
really
are stunning.
Cool. And I like the webcam. The webcam they have on the website is just a good, sometimes I just sit there and I just watch a few people come through because I watch someone miss like a 3-footer 5 times and I'm like, it breaks a little bit more. Just
oh, so you know, you know it.
You know what? I hope the pin location's right in the center of the green on 18 because I know it breaks a little left to right from about 3 feet thanks to that lovely member that showed me it. But yeah, so I'm excited to play those courses. So I think I'm on 24. Royal St. George's was number 24 on the list.
Very good.
So I have another, 16 and a half months to get another.
Right in saying that it's inspired you to do something quite cool though.
Yeah. I know we chatted about it a bit, but what ended up happening was I got really lucky and I got chosen to play as one of the amateurs in the LET Aramco's event at the Centurion this past year. And I had one of my county coaches coach me and caddy me for the second round. And, you know, we were chatting and we try not to chat about golf when we're out there on the course together. So we were chatting and we realized that during that round we played together, we had two completely different recollections of that round, although he didn't play and just watched me play. And, you know, we were talking about the top 100s I had played because he's played about 70 of them. And I told him, I was like, you know, I remember bits and bobs, but I don't really remember shots. I normally remember the experience of playing. And then we just kind of had this idea of what if we had a book that kind of showed the experience and told our story of playing a top 100 course. And we looked online, couldn't find a book. And we thought, well, we might as well just write one ourselves. So I have this bucket list book that, you know, my nan gave me when I was younger that I loved. And it helped me share my experiences of ticking off things on my bucket list, you know, like going to Rome and stuff like that. So I just kind of buckled down, sat down and wrote a book that has 100 different pages for you to put in 100 different rounds of golf, which was really cool. And that's I get the cool. proof tomorrow. It is, I know I've been literally the lady who is like itching to get rid of me because I'm just like, when is it coming? When is it coming? But it was one of those things that, you know, I always found that when you find golf books that have, you know, the top 100s in the world and stuff like that, it tells you what the top 100 are, but there's no really book that says the top 100 England because it's a bit of a niche to play. And, you know, you guys do such a good job on your website doing, you know, each country and you guys even do like counties and you do top 100 links, which I find really interesting to look at links because you would think of only GB and I, but there are links golf courses everywhere else. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to create a book that doesn't necessarily focus on a top 100, but it just focuses on 100 rounds. So then you can choose yourself what to put in it. So, because I know that I'm trying to do the top 100 in England, you know, he's trying to do maybe the top 100 in the world. And then, you know, one of my really good friends that I play golf with, her daughter's playing golf. And I thought, you know, this book would be really cool for her to document her daughter's first 100 rounds of golf. You know, because I think if my mom were have given me a book that, you know, here's your tournament rounds, 100 tournament rounds from when you were, you know, 8, 9 years old. I'd love to sit down and read something like that, you know, talking about, you know, what was the wow moment or the shot of the day, you know, that's what I would love to read. So the questions that we've asked in the book for each round are able to be interpreted a bit differently, depending on how you see it. You know, the shot of the day is one of the questions for every round. And that doesn't necessarily mean your shot of the day. You know, if you play, if we play together and you made a hole in one, that would be the shot of the day for me. You know, I've been writing down mine right now. And, you know, I played with one of the assistant pros at one of the clubs and he shanked it off the first tee.
Oh, honestly, love a shank.
I mean, he's going to be probably listening to this and I won't name him because he would absolutely kill me. But you know, he did it and it was the funniest moment because there was a little bit of a crowd because they knew he was playing. And he shanked it and it was the funniest thing. And I still don't let him live it down to this day. But when I put my shot of the day, I thought, you know what? I really don't remember a shot from that day besides that one, because it was just a really funny moment. So in the book, we've allowed everyone to kind of interpret it in their own way. So it's a bit of an open-ended question, but you know, if you and I play the exact same round, you know, we're going to have two completely different recollections of the round. And that's what I wanted to create. It's just giving people different options. You know, my friend that's helped me create it, he's a PGA, he's a director of golf. And he has someone that he coaches that has brought in scorecards from every round he's played to see how his handicap has gotten better and how he plays differently. So this book is for him as well. So he could document it because I've left room for you to put a scorecard. Because, you know, that's what we kind of do when we play a top 100 is we do keep the scorecard. And it allows you, obviously, you can fill it in if you want to. But a lot of times when I play top 100s, I'm not necessarily keeping score. I'm more enjoying the experience of the top 100 course that I'm playing.
And I think if you're wanting to review or understand the place,
keeping your score can keep you. You can miss things. You can miss the beauty of the place, and or the, a little hillock, or I don't think when you're concentrating on yourself, it can be quite a. It's not my type of golf, but anyway, it's a very exciting project. I think we're gonna move on to a little thing that we do every week.
Okay.
It's the top five favorite golf courses.
Okay. Is that played or I would like to play?
Played. You have to have played them. It's your five favorites. So it doesn't have to be the best golf courses. It doesn't have to be the. It's your favorite because so like, I've got and it doesn't have to be five. I had one guy say 13. So don't worry. Yeah, wild. Played a lot of golf courses. Gosh. The top five. So I've got golf courses that are like the par three at North Berwick, the little kids course, is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Things like
is
that.
Is it?
It's just, I grew up there. You know, it means a lot to me.
That's true. Okay, I may go a few more than five, but I won't go to 13. Favorite golf course I think I've ever played is Royal Portrush.
Yeah, it's class.
You know what? It was one of those ones that it looked like they carved a golf course out of the dunes. And I think when you're sitting, you know, you're so high up compared to everything else that you're just sitting there going, wow, like this is an open venue. And I think sometimes like before that I had played Royal St. Ports and I absolutely think that's a masterpiece of a golf course. I love it. But I didn't understand why it couldn't host an open. Until I went to Portrush and I went, okay, this is why this doesn't actually host an open. I was like, they can't get stands in there. But I thought, you know what, I'm not going to go to Troon for the open this year, but I will go to Portrush because I want to see how they play it. I think the tee, have you played Portrush then?
Yep. I love it.
Okay, that tee shot on 16, that par three.
Calamity.
Holy moly, I could be winning the open by five shots and my knees would buckle hitting that shot.
I don't think I've either been wide left towards the tee or I've been in the hollow. I've been nowhere near the green. Nowhere near.
When I played it, it was dead into the wind, which I think you would mostly get. So I played it dead into the wind. I don't know how ladies play it because I had to pound a three wood there and I got it there and I stood over the ball going, this isn't a tournament. Just hit the ball. Like, don't worry about if you lose it. It's not a big deal. You don't have a card in your hand. But I hit the green and I sat there and thought, well, I'll never do this again, probably. But that was a mastery. I thought every hole was really different. And I think that's what I don't like boring golf courses. I like something really unique and different.
Yeah.
So Portrush.
It's stunning. They've done a bit of work to it. And it's absolutely brilliant as well.
I think
it was Martin Ebert that did it.
Oh, yeah. I think number two, well, maybe not number two, but Portrush is just number one. And then everyone else can just, you know, fight for their next spot. But I played a golf course called Red Sky in Colorado. Played there in a college event back in 2014. And we played it in the end of September. So in Colorado, all the leaves were changing for autumn. And it was when you drove into the golf course, you basically just drove up a mountain. And the golf course was built into the side of a mountain. And oh, wow, that was possibly the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. Played horribly, had a sprained wrist when I played it, but I really enjoyed it. And that's when you can tell it's a good golf course, when you have bad memories, but it's still a favorite. Super. I like to go back and play. But no, it was an absolute incredible golf course. I was looking at pictures of it before this because I thought, oh, I haven't heard about this golf course. I forgot about it. And then thought, oh, this is a good, good, good golf course.
Reminiscing.
I know. Another one of my favorites is Hankley Common.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely love Hankley Common. I think if I ever got a dog, I name it Hankley because maybe they give me a free tee time. Maybe Jonathan would give me a free tee time there if I named my dog Hankley. But I absolutely loved it. I got really lucky and I had a county teammate qualify for final qualifying for AIG Women's Open there. And it was when all the heather was in bloom and wow, it was just a picturesque golf course. You could have just sat there and taken pictures all day, but I loved Hankley. It's just an immaculate shape as well. Royal St. George's did creep into my top five, kind of like Portrush. It looked like it was carved out of, you know, all the dunes. And I think it's just the whole atmosphere of it, like you said earlier, the whole atmosphere there is really cool. I think them posting the tee time that's next up on the tee is just really interesting. I thought that was the coolest thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought that was really unique. And then I like the everyday tea. I thought like tea of the day. I was like, oh, I was thinking, what is that? And then, you know, Royal County Down. That probably would have been too. Yeah.
When were you? You obviously played a bit in Northern Ireland. When were you over there?
September. Yeah, just went out. One of my county coaches, his sister and brother-in-law live out there about 45 minutes from County Down. And he, you know, this is one who played a few top 100s in the world and was just like, you know, I've never played Portrush or County Down. And he's like, you appreciate really good golf courses. Do you want to come? And I was like, well, of course, I won't say no to a really good golf course. So we went out there for just a few days and played County Down first and then Portrush. But County Down's front nine might be one of the most spectacular front nines I've ever seen. I think that, what's that first par three? Is it hole 4 or 5?
Yeah.
That one there. Four. That I hit the worst 4-iron of my life, and I have it on video, but I didn't care because I went, did you get a picture of me over the golf ball?
So, that's all that mattered.
I actually just got in the mail today. I was like, I need something to hang up in my room. And I just got this massive, like 1 meter long picture of the fourth tee box at County Down. I had like a panoramic picture I took, and it is stunning. And I'm like, wow, what a picture.
Super.
So yeah, County Down was just a really cool experience. So, cause it's what, number 3 in the world, isn't it?
Yeah. It's very well respected in the golf nerd community.
I'm trying to think of anything of Florida. I feel like I'm neglecting my home people. I have played Bay Hill. Bay Hill's a really cool course to play. I think what makes it cool is that you learn about the course playing video games, and then you actually get to go and play there.
How flat is it?
It's pretty flat. Florida's really flat anyway. You're not really going to find much hills. I do remember I was just telling this story yesterday to someone, and I was really lucky 1 year, and I don't know how I got them, but I got 17th hospitality at the Arnold Palmer 1 year, and Tiger was coming up 16, and 16 has a slight hill over the tee shot before you kind of make the turn to the green. And I was like, I wonder when Tiger's coming. And you just saw this flood of people over this little bitty hill. And everyone's like, I think he's coming. And I went, oh, you think? And they're like, the ground moves when he comes. And that was really funny. But that's like, that's my only recollection of a hill at Bay Hill, to be honest.
Well, that's the weird thing about it, is it's called Bay Hill.
Yeah, I don't know why it's called Bay Hill. It's just really interesting to see all the houses around it. So people will have like parties, like garden parties.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, Bay Hill's really fun. I grew up on a golf course called Timaquan, and I absolutely love it. I haven't played it in about 10 years. So I'd like to get back out there and give it a whack. Because I was there from when I was like 9 to 15 or so.
See what you can do now.
Yeah, maybe I'll play the 4 tees. I may shoot 61 again. But I don't doubt that. I don't know if I was a better golfer at, you know, 14 than I am now. Don't know.
Thank you very much, Alessandra. That was really, really good fun. And hopefully we'll get a game of golf soon. Thank you very much for listening to the pod again this week. If you want to get in contact, it's james@top100golfcourses.com, or the Instagram is official top100. I've been getting a lot of emails, a lot of Instagram messages. I really enjoy hearing from you. And I just want you to all remember to go into the Christmas period with one phrase in your head. Play fast, launch slow.